This is I, Clark, Reel 3.
I'm sorry, you were telling me about your brothers joined the forces.
Well, then, Churchill come round, and of course, he laid the law down about what he would do for Ireland, and the trouble that was going on in it, and how he was going to reform things. And as usual, there was such a lot of unemployment, and it was very hard then for a Catholic to get a decent job in Belfast. And my father, stepfather, was unemployed, and so were they. And they weren't taking any more on the Navy. And my second brother, Frank, took my younger brother's name and age and got into the Navy. And he was in the Navy in both wars. He never came out of it. He served his life, all his life, in the Navy. And John done the same. Well, I think John was promoted and married the Scotch girl. So, of course, we never seen much of my brother after he married the Scotch girl, him being in the Navy. And he's got two sons now, and I believe they're in the Navy, but he's dead now. Both of them only died within the last 13 to 14 years. But the both of them served all their lives. And, of course, I had an uncle, my Uncle Jack. And he was an old sailor. Well, all my people were seafaring people. As I have two second cousins, which is captains, living now in Cardiff. But one of them went to Canada and died, but there's one still living in McIntosh Place in Cardiff. And his father before him was a captain. And my grandfather was an old seaman too. And my Uncle Jack was getting on in years, I believe he was 60 odd. And his name is in the seafaring men's books for the bravery of what he'd done when the German came over and told them on board the ship that they were going to be torpedoed. And he made a raft of some sort, and the captain was hurt, and he took over. And to be correct, it would be still in their history books, to be correct, he saved, I think it was 11 men. And they were alert. It was either 11 men, or he was 11 days in the water, but I know they picked him up. And he was notified for his bravery. He was took on for his bravery. And his photo was put in the seafaring man's book, who says to fight at 60 odd. But he was known better by Wendy McGee, well over all the Belfast docks. All the seafaring men knew him.
Did you lose any of your family in the First War?
No.
Can I ask you, what was the attitude of yourself and the other Irish girls in the family, in the factory, to the events in Ireland in 1916, the Easter Rising?
Well, you see, that was after the war.
1916?
Yes. It was just starting then, and we didn't really know enough about it. But of course, after the war, when I went back home and seen what was happening, and of course, I was getting older and wiser, and I thought twice about what we'd done and what our people had done and what we'd come back to. And I thought of what my brothers had gone out and fought for, and my stepfather. And I was only a girl, and what I'd come out for, and my sister had come as a crane driver to the Coventry Ordnance. She was over two years younger than me, and she'd come out to the Coventry Ordnance as a crane driver. And of course, when we come back, the men met and the 14 were in France, and they were united, and there was no trouble among them. It was when they come back that the agitators started and organized what's going on today. And I believe one of them was a Mr. Wilson, and I believe he was shot by a discharged soldier in London, because I remember reading it in the Mirror or the Daily Sketch.
I remember, that's Sir Horace Wilson.
And I said there was supposed to be a monument went up, but it never went up.
Henry Wilson.
And then I said there was Sir Edward Carson. And I said there's Mr. Craig. So of course today it's not them, but it's their afters that's took on where they left off.
What was your attitude during the war to the conscientious objectors, those who refused to fight?
Well, I was ignorant. I didn't even know what a conscientious objector was. And my ambition at the time was, the job was more money, and it was going to be more help for my poor mother, because she worked hard. And when my stepfather came back from the war, all he had was a 10 shilling a week pension. And it killed my mother looking after him, because when he came back wounded, he had something like sleepy sickness. I don't know what it was. And he was wounded in the back. And my mother used to have to change the bed about 3 or 4 times a week. And all, it was all the help he got. And when my husband came over and seen the condition he was, he even reported it to the British Legion man that was over here in Coventry. And they said they could do nothing for him. When he went over, we went and inquired about it. And they said, but he was an Irish volunteer and not an Ulster volunteer. So, of course, he got no help there. So the consequence was, this gentleman said, would my husband and I bring him over here, and they would see to him and see to the case. And I said, well, why is it that he can't get the same comforts and benefits in Belfast as he's getting here?
Can I ask you how much training you got for your job at the Ordnance Works and at the previous job in Morecambe?
Well, in Morecambe, you were put on it straight away, the stemming of the shells. Well, I'd be about 6 months in Morecambe. Now, not the factory wasn't in Morecambe, White Lawn. That was the name of the factory, White Lawn. We were supposed to be working and living in Morecambe, but you weren't. It was a place called White Lawn. Well, I should say it mightn't be as far as from here to Birmingham. See, the special transport.
Can I ask you whether you wore special uniform and equipment?
Yes. We had to wear pumps, and you had to take all your clothes off in case there was any linen buttons with the tin insides, because explosions. So you had to wear the just like, same as that.
This was the same
the
with
sailor
the ordnance.
Uniform, yes. And only their hats. And you were supplied, you had to have cocoa about 3 times a day. What was in the cocoa, we don't know, but they reckon there was something in it for killing the gas.
What about the standard of the factory in which you worked? Was it a good new factory, well ventilated?
Well, the factory was built purposely. Now, nobody ever seen the shells, even the people that lived round about. Nobody ever seen it coming in or going out. They had their own railway. And as it came out of the shop, it went on to the wagon. Belonged to the railways and was taken out. But nobody ever seen them shells either coming in or going out. They had it organised that way.
What was your attitude towards doing such dangerous work?
I was innocent. I didn't realise the danger of it. It was, as I tell you before, it was just the money I was interested in, and I was delighted to think of what I could send home.
Did They provide medical facilities. Was there a doctor in attendance?
Oh, yes. And there was a police place as well at the gates.
Now, were there ever any strikes and disputes at the Ordnance Works when you were there?
Not at the Ordnance, nor at White Lawn.
What was your attitude towards your employers, towards the foreman? Did you get on well with them?
Very good. Never had a dispute of any kind with any of them.
Can you remember the Zeppelin raids on Coventry?
Yes. Well, I can remember the Zeppelins coming over and that, but we just didn't... I don't think they were anywhere near as dangerous as what the last war was. I don't think it had any connections at all. They got the last Blitz Wars. But I was never out of Coventry. From the start to the finish of the last war, I was living in it right through. Although, and even my two girls, but I evacuated them before the last Blitz because, I mean, I had nowhere. There was nothing left of the shop. Windows was out. And, of course, we lived close to the Ordnance and every night we had it. From the Ordnance, so that really there wasn't a scene in the house, there wasn't a place livable in the shop.
Were you well accepted by the skilled men as an unskilled worker?
Yes, if I done what they done. I mean, if they said to me what wages I was getting, and I didn't work with them with the rate, which was them that advised me about the rate, the men were more than good to me afterwards. Because it was them that used to make me these bars of steel to put on the spanners to help me, you know, and that. Well, I'll be honest.
Was there any way that you were going to be promoted?
Well, no, we were the only, yes, Mr. McCarthy was the principal man of the Coventry Ordnance. And he tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, I only wish we thought of this earlier. Because it was my own suggestion to go on this machine. And of course, Miss Wall, which is Mrs. Maiton today, I had a word with her and she was a good operator. And I said, well, Annie, if I can do it, you can do it. And of course, I think Annie was a tailoress by trade. And of course Annie turned round and she said, well, all right. And of course the money I think interested her too.
Can I ask you to give me a description of what precisely you did in both the jobs at White Lawn and at the Ordnance?
Is it? Well, I went to stemming first. That's putting the powder in the shales, the 9.2 shales. And then after that I was promoted. And I was promoted onto a job in a little explosion room. And there used to be little trap doors and the shales were on a little bogey. And they come through this trap door and you put the lever on to stop it. And then you had to go out on the corridor and there was a sort of a machine like a compass and you had to work it up till a certain time on the clock and that made room in the shale for the explosion bag to fit in and then you had to turn it back and when you turned it back then automatically the trap doors went up. And you kicked it. You had to release the bogey where the shells stood on, and kick it back, which went into the inspection room. And then there was an inspector there, and they took a gauge and gauged it to see it was correct. And that's when they used to put the explosion bag into the gas shell.
I see. And when you came to the
and then they tapped it after that.
When you came to the Ordnance Works, what precisely were you doing there?